Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Update. This is Sequoia, and we're quite used to hearing Jen at this time. And I'm happy to say, and I know the folks in Cantalomba are happy to say, that she is over in Africa right now, and we'll soon be hearing more about her trip. So I'm pleased to be here today. And I have a guest today, Jen Y. Jen, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me okay? Oh,
I can hear you perfectly. Great. So welcome, Jen. You were just at the monastery recently as a visiting monk. And I know this wasn't your first time as a visiting monk at the monastery, but it is your first time as a visiting monk since we have gone through a few changes with the program, the visiting monk program at the monastery. And we've been moving this program to, and the monastery, to a place where folks can come, and rather than being guided through an experience, really a place where people can come and take responsibility for their practice. And I wondered if you would talk to us today about what your experience was like as a visiting monk as we shift into this new focus.
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you so much for the opportunity to do that. So,
sure.
Yeah, this was my third time coming for a month, and yes, as you say, this time around was the first time since this transition to becoming a practice center where we're really encouraged to take responsibility for our practice, and it was. It was amazing. I don't have enough good adjectives to say just how beautiful and wonderful and transformative the experience was. Each of those times and each of those progressions of what, has been happening at the monastery has been fantastic and just perfect for that time and all of that. And it really was different in many beautiful ways, this new focus. So a lot of things stood out. I guess I'll just start talking about a few if that sounds good,
sure.
Sequoia, and you stop
sure.
me or whatever. But
okay.
One place that I looked at a lot was, like you talked about, this time around there was more of an encouragement to have some, I guess I'm not quite sure the right word, but kind of have some freedom around our schedules. I mean, there's still a monastic schedule for sure and things that we do as a community and all of that, but there is some kind of flexibility. Like there were things like tasks that I might be responsible for each week, and in the prior model it might have been, you're going to work during this time and then be kind of, a supervisor will tell you when the time is finished to when you can kind of go and take a break or something when you've done enough work or whatever. And in this model, it was, really encouraged to be a grown-up in practice and take responsibility. So I received a lot of guidance about things like set up a compassionate schedule. So look at the tasks that you have for each week. And, within the freedom that you have to look at your schedule, set up something that's compassionate for the being. And that was pretty revolutionary. I must say that in my day-to-day life, compassionate is not always, probably often or ever, a word that I pair with schedule,
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. I'm really struck with the word that you use, grown-up. It was an opportunity to really practice being in a privileged environment, contributing to practice, and really stepping into that position of being a grown-up.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, just to have that support, that environment to encourage compassion and more like what it is for you out in the world, you might say, where you're the person responsible. So
yeah.
To have this environment to practice bringing compassion into activities that you will also be engaged in your day-to-day life when you leave the monastery.
Yes, exactly. I could see that there, as you talked about before, when there, and again, it was all, fantastic. It's just fun to see this progression. But in that model where it was more of maybe kind of more of an experience was provided, there wasn't that opportunity to explore, like you're talking about, you know, now that I'm back in my day-to-day life, having an opportunity to see what does a compassionate schedule look like here and how can I come from that grown-up place, from that heart place that was so encouraged to practice at the monastery. You know, I see, so and it helped me to really, I mean, just with so many things, but it helped me to really see the authenticity and that the authentic being, of course, really wants to choose a compassionate schedule. Like there could be a story in the other times that I had come of, well, you know, they won't let you do, you know, they won't let you do this certain thing or something, you know, the monastery, you know, tells you you have to do this thing or some kind of thing that could go on like that. Like kind of aligning with ego almost, like, you know, in that way. And it's really funny to see that. But in this place of being encouraged, well, you know, I could choose, you know, ego. I could let ego direct the schedule. I mean, there was freedom to kind of play around with that and see what it was like when ego might take over the schedule. But then it also to realize, wow, I'm not that. I'm not that would choose a not compassionate schedule. You know, this being is that heart place that would choose compassion, and having this sort of, I don't know if freedom is the word that keeps coming up, to explore that, but within the sort of, you know, within the support, we talked in one of the groups about those, you know, having like those kind of bumpers on each side. Like I go to like the bowling alley when you're a little kid and they put those bumpers up so your ball can't go too far. It's going to stay in that lane anyway. So, you know, it's so beautiful to be at the monastery where you kind of have those bumpers so people are going to support you. You're going to get a lot of support to see if you're kind of aligning with ego or with the heart, but to actually get to practice, wait, I'm that heart place. I choose that grown-up place. It's not because someone makes me follow that schedule that's, quote, good for me. It's because that's what my heart really wants, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And just really strengthening that connection with authenticity.
Yeah.
And you know, what I saw with that is just deepening your trust that there is that within you that is authentic, can be trusted, and can be followed. And the other thing that I was struck with, too, is when you're talking about, you know, the bowling alley and the bumpers. And that's another thing that's required in this model is communication. And that sort of keeps the ball headed, you know, down the middle of the alley, you know, so that, you know, that's the opportunity of being here during this month is to stay in communication, you know, as you practice checking it out, you know, is this authentic? Is this following the heart? Is this following ego? To have that opportunity to keep checking that out.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, and the communication is so, I'm so grateful for this focus that it seems like we've had a lot of strong focus on communication more recently in practice, and then to practice it at such a deep level at the monastery, yeah, such a gift, because of course conditioned mind doesn't want me to, you know, to communicate and tries to get me to think that that's who I am too, that I don't want to communicate. And it was so kind to see that, you know, every time that I could get past that resistance and communicate, you know, everything that would come back would always be so kind. You know, there's such a conditioned mind has a lot of fear about, well, you can't, don't ask about that, just do it and don't ask, or I don't know, whatever kind of crazy things it might say, you know, but then to check it out and to get information, there's a story that I'll get information that, you know, I'm doing something bad or wrong or whatever else, but it's never like that. It's always, maybe ego doesn't like the communication that comes back, but, you know, maybe lots of times, but the heart loves it. It is always, it is exactly those bumper rails to say, ooh, you know, actually, maybe you want to look over here. And there's always that sense of, oh, wow, I'm so grateful. Thank you that was pointed out. I didn't see that, and I'm so grateful to be shown that, to be given that support in how to be a grown-up and how to listen to the heart. You know, there was this beautiful term that was, it seemed to me, being used a lot in the time that I was there, talking about how to really, well, and Ashwini talked about this in this new model of the monastery, but, you know, that we're really being taught how to live and how to calibrate to our hearts, how to calibrate to the rhythm of the heart. And I just love that. Like, wow, I didn't even know that was possible, let alone that there's a way to practice it. And I feel like that's what's going on at the monastery now. There's a chance to really practice how to be in life calibrating to the heart instead of letting ego let us calibrate to whatever in the world ego is doing. It's not the heart.
Yeah, calibrating to the rhythm of the heart. That's beautiful. And really, in that place of calibrating to the rhythm of the heart is when we really are able to offer ourselves to practice.
And
be that contribution. So, you know what? Gosh, it's hard to believe it, but I think we've already come to the end of our time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It feels like we could go on for quite a bit longer.
Yeah.
I really, really, really appreciate that you are here this afternoon to talk about the program, Jen. And we really, really would like to encourage folks to consider coming and taking advantage of this opportunity to deepen one's practice at the monastery this year. So please write to us at information@livingcompassion.com. And let us know that you would love to come and stay with us for a month or whatever time this year, and just let us know of your interest.
Yeah,
anything
and I know we have to go. I'll just say I can't encourage it enough. The voices will say all the reasons why a person can't do that in their life, but I just want to say, like, oh, don't listen to them. Listen to your heart, because my heart is just glowing and radiating and so grateful that that for everything that's offered into this human for setting up her life that she could do that. So I really just a big shout out if anybody's considering it, and the voices are probably kicking and screaming, like, get past that kicking and screaming, because it's so worth it, so beautiful, so helpful. So a deep gusho, so much gratitude. Thank you.
Deep gusho to you, Jen. One might say that making that step is the first step in calibrating toward the rhythms of the heart.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. Have a beautiful, beautiful night and a beautiful show.
Thanks, Jen.
Bye-bye.
So, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry next.
Okay, great. Thank you, Sequoia. And thank you, Jen. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good. Do I hear a little cold in your nose?
No, I don't think so. At least I hope not.
No, you're not a little nasally? All right. Well, good. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. I was afraid there was a little of that stuff that seems to be going around everywhere. But no.
Yes, I've been trying to avoid it, and I got a little dose a few days ago, and I'm feeling good now.
Oh, great. Oh, that's good. All right. Well, me too. I didn't get a dose.
Sure.
Well, yeah, I guess I did. I did my 24-hour Huber cure, and it decided to go live somewhere else. So it's wonderful to feel so good on what in our world are some of the most beautiful days ever, huh?
Yes. Amazing. Amazingly beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Though I wouldn't mind being drenched occasionally.
No, and I think this weekend we have a hope of being drenched, so we'll all be dancing in preparation and then dancing through it and whatever it'll take to keep more of it coming our way. Hopefully everybody is praying for us, especially those folks who are getting way more of it than they can use right now. Just ask the powers that be to send it on over to us. We are in a world of hurt here, so we can use all the help we can get.
Yes, it's true.
And it's beautiful.
Yes, and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so what's going on, Michael? I thought you might.
Due to popular demand, a second group coaching session of Mornings with Mentor and inviting the mentor into the workplace are being offered.
Yeah. Is this a second? Well, I shouldn't ask you this. I know Morning with the Mentor it has been offered before. I didn't remember the inviting the mentor into the workplace. Boy, those are some great topics, aren't they? Great places where
great,
you
great
want
topic.
The mentor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Uh-huh.
And for those who don't know, group coaching is an excellent way to strengthen your recording and listening practice and to be facilitated in a small group setting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, I think a person would be wise to do both of those. I don't know if they're in conflict, but my gosh, I mean, you have your morning with the mentor, and then you take the mentor to work. Woo!
Yes. Yes.
Good life.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So visit the services section at sanghamarket.com for more information on signing up.
Mm-hmm.
And today is the last day to sign up for our year-long retreat, which is
Trying
to live in this year now.
Yes, because I think the email class already started, right?
Yes, it came out today.
Yeah. I haven't started my part of it
like
yet,
all
but
of them.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this, and I got to tell you, I mean, old Zen stories, you know, oh my goodness, we've loved those for so long. Yeah, and I think people can still join in the email class. It's not like, I think, maybe for till today or something, but yeah.
Yeah, I think today's the last day to sign up.
Yeah, if it sounds good, join us. It's going to be a great year.
Yes, and as part of the training, there will be calls, workshops, email classes, there are intensives, and you can find it all at livingcompassion.org/schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of reminders to make a show to indicate your desire to talk with Sherry today. Press *6 and then 1 on your phone. And a reminder, about 5 minutes, please, for your conversation and one topic.
All right.
And
thank you, Michael.
Started.
Yeah, thank
You're
you.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Sounds like you can hear me.
Yeah, we can really hear you. Is this Isota?
Yes, it is me. Yeah, you were in my... Yeah, you were in a bag. This is why the noise. Sorry. Now you are in my hand.
All right. You had us in the bag.
Exactly.
Right.
And now I have you in my hand. Wow,
oh,
that's fantastic.
Way better. Way better. Way better. How are you?
I'm doing super great. Thank you. Well, just talking to you makes me feel super great.
Oh, good.
But,
good.
But
good. Well,
I don't want to fall for I'm so happy that I talk to you that I don't ask what I want to ask, you know? Because I realized that I don't want to fall for I want you to think that all is doing great because I want to look good to you, no? So I want to tell you something that is not going great, you know, that I'm working
uh-huh.
on.
Uh-huh.
I'm working at some garden variety conditioning that I don't know how come I wasn't aware of it. And, well, it's super garden variety. It's so boring, but I will tell it to you. So, oh, my God, it's so boring. I feel bored myself telling it, but I have to expose it. So,
yes.
After more than 1 year of practice, well, which sounds like a lot to me, but it's really short, I know. But for me, it's like after 1 year, only now I realize that I end up each day with a voice that I was believing until yesterday, saying that I haven't done enough today. And it took me 1 year to realize. Can you believe it?
Yes, I can. Because you know what? I'll bet you that you're not alone in that. I'll bet you, in fact, there are those of us who have been doing practice for a really long time who can still fall for that voice.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know mm-hmm. what my super wise coach told me? Because I realized it yesterday, and I was expecting myself to be out of it yesterday, and I was judgmental for not being so. And uh-huh. of course, he told me that I've been listening to it for 36 years, and maybe even more, so of course I cannot be out of it in one day. But uh-huh. Any trick you could tell me to speed it up, just to end it in this lifetime, I'd be
right.
thankful.
Yes. Well, of course, you know, now you've seen it. So mm-hmm. then the work is, of course, to keep it in your recordings often enough. Periodically, you run into a recording that has you listen for some, either that exact language, well, you didn't get anything done today,
mm-hmm.
or, oh, my God, I can't, what a wasted day. You know, you needed to do blip, 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 and
uh-huh,
what did
uh-huh.
you accomplish? You know, so it's probably got a lot of ways to phrase that. It can
mm-hmm.
even slide over into comparing you to other people who get
of
so
course,
much more done.
Of course, yes, yes.
Yeah. So now the work is to be reminded often enough of that process that it doesn't close over the awareness and cause you to stop recognizing it. Because
mm-hmm.
that's what conditioning specializes in. Right, so now you've seen this, and of course, that's a huge driver in almost any conditioned person's life. I mean, it just is. You know,
mm-hmm.
something wrong and not enough. Something wrong
uh-huh.
and not enough. That's there. It is. You know, those really are the two biggies. And
uh-huh.
so, what it's going to work on now is to get you to forget that you saw that. So now it'll get you all fascinated by some new thing. Or maybe you'll decide that you're in love. Or you want to do something that it would be new and exciting. And your attention gets turned to whatever that is, and that system just puts the not enough right back in place, and you don't hear it any longer because you're distracted by whatever this new thing is.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so weird that it hasn't come to my mind because I even have a folder in my recorder with things that I don't have to believe when they come up that I listen to almost every day. And, of course, I should just add that, you know?
Yes.
You don't have
yes.
to believe to
yes.
You haven't done enough today.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's it.
Yeah.
Solution found. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And just watch how it tries to get you not to notice.
And not to listen to the folder, yeah, uh-huh. of course. Not to listen
to the folder. And also, you know, I don't know if this happens to you, but, you know, so you've got a list of 20 things in the folder, and
mm-hmm.
And you listen to it every day. And so, you know, just periodically a little thought drops in about something you need to do later in the day or a little whatever it is, you know, and you lose focus, you lose your attention for just a moment.
Just when it's saying that, exactly.
Yeah.
It does happen, yeah.
Yes. And so, I didn't hear it. So, you know, people kid about that all the time. You know, you listen to, you read a book that you read a year ago or 2 years ago, and it seems like it's a completely different book because you're so different now than you were then. Okay, so what was I doing? What was I seeing? What was I aware of then? And what am I doing and what am I seeing now? There are very, very few times when we get to make that kind of comparison about the changes. Because most of the time, what's happening as we just go along day by day by day is that we're being managed. And we're being managed by conditioning so that we are attending to the things that maintain conditioning and not noticing the things that would threaten it, which is what you started out talking about. You've been doing this process for all these years and had no idea it was going on. Are you taking that in, or did you go away?
Looks like she got muted. Hold on one sec.
Oh, I can hear you again. Sorry, I couldn't.
I thought you were looking deeply, deeply, deeply at that issue. And then I thought maybe we lost you.
No, you lost me for the last maybe 1 minute and a half, so I will have to re-listen to it.
Yeah, well, the whole point that I was making is just how adept egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is at managing us so that we are attending to what supports it and not noticing what threatens it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah.
Yes,
so,
yes, yes.
Yeah, your example being such a perfect one, that there are things that we hear every day that we don't question because we are so convinced that they're true.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I don't know if you mentioned it in the minute listening, but somebody was saying in a previous episode about keeping the recording in shuffle. Maybe that's a better way to avoid the thing you were talking about when I lost you, that your mind goes to what to do next because you know it so well, the recording.
Could be. Yeah, or you go through and you just switch it up. You know, you take the thing that's last on the list and put it first on the list. Or you put the things on the list and then you say another little sentence afterwards to describe what it is that you've realized about. Something that keeps it fresh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
All right. All right.
Thank you so much.
Great to hear your voice. All right. Take care.
Great to hear you. A hug to everyone. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Yasota.
Isn't that connection just astounding?
Yeah.
I mean, she sounds like she is right here with us. And she's on the other side of the world. It's really marvelous. We are blessed with this technology. In fact, that connection is better than the connection that I often have with people who are just down the road. You know, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's great. And to me, it's so essential to keep us all together, holding hands, doing what we're attempting to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
And
all right,
we have another
Who's
caller
next?
Here.
Good.
Our next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, this is Andrea calling.
Well, it certainly is. How's it going?
Oh, okay. I just wanted to connect. I've kind of gotten talked out of listening to the show the last few weeks, either just forgetting or other things. And so I just wanted
We're
to
here.
Connect.
Yeah. The walking is very loud.
Oh, you heard me walking?
Uh-huh. Again, you know, the connection with Yasota was beautiful, and this connection is too. So I don't know what's going on, but it's like you're right here in the room with us. It's quite wonderful.
That's amazing.
It is. It is. So tell us about what's been going on. You've been talked out of listening.
I've been really busy and forgot last week, and then I'm not sure what happened the week before, but I've been meditating pretty regularly, actually, like meditating for 40 minutes to an hour, and then the last few days, I didn't get to meditate as much as I usually do, and then I noticed I got really identified today. So, you know, it's kind of looking at this urgency that I've had because I've been really busy at work. And actually, today is my year anniversary.
Huh. Of being there at that.
Yeah, being where I work right now. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So.
And so tell me, identified, you were just aware that you kind of got snatched by karmic conditioning or
you had to yell
at people or?
Yeah, well, I live in this co-housing and some old patterns came up around social interactions for both me and my son. And it really was unpleasant and, you know, just noticed that. And so it came up around dinner because we have group dinners. And often if I come in late, I feel really awkward and there's this real awkwardness where I feel, especially after a long day of work, I feel really kind of stressed and it's hard to be social. And that's what I'm looking at right now. And so after that happened, I just felt really identified. And then I meditated for 20 minutes. And I don't know, I still felt pretty identified. And then right after the meditation ended, I called the radio show because I realized, oh, it's the radio show. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. When you're in a situation like that, is being social a requirement?
No, it's not really. I mean, it's, you know, the dinner's kind of arranged around being social. And what often happens is there's a person who wants to be social, and then when the event actually comes up, that person leaves.
Yeah. So you really need to invite her to dinner.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, this old conditioning comes up and that's who replaces her, and that's what I saw tonight.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Now, of course, we would say, since what we're doing is awareness practice, that's really helpful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you were present enough to see all of that, that whole thing. I mean, that is truly a life-changing awareness. So I want something.
Mm-hmm.
When there's an opportunity to have it, the part of me who wants that is elbowed out.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else comes in. Maybe it's a somebody else. Maybe it's ego maintenance system. Takes over, makes it a miserable situation, and makes me feel bad.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, now that you say that, I'm seeing that with something else, too, because, you know, there's someone who wants to plan all these activities, and then when they happen, the person who's there is very resentful and thinks that there's too much to do.
And here's what I'm going to suggest, because you've been practicing for a while. I'm going to suggest that the one who wants to do these things is probably a legitimate aspect of the personality.
Right.
You know, wants to do things, wants to have fun, wants to enjoy, wants to whatever. And what takes over is egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate.
Yeah, I think you're, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because one feels open and good and alive.
Mm-hmm.
The other feels dark and closed and miserable.
Exactly.
And, yeah. And, you know, people get very confused for a long time in practice, thinking, well, there's just this part of me who's really miserable, or this part of me who's really angry, or this part of me who, I doubt it. I doubt it, because aspects of the personality just don't work like that. They just don't. Now, I mean, it's not that I can't have a snarky teenager or a, you know, whatever it is, but there's no consistency to coming in and taking over and ruining a situation. Only egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate has that kind of focus.
Yeah, that's interesting to see, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is really good because now you're prepared. Okay? Mm-hmm. So now the focus can be on the person who is wants to enjoy her life.
Right.
Right? That, I mean, that's really all that's going on. Here it's dinner. Here it's, you know, being in some activity. Here it's being at work. She right. wants to be alive, and she wants to enjoy her life. And then there's this force that's constantly lurking, trying to take what is enjoyable and turn it into suffering. So now that you see it that clearly as a boom, boom process, you can be prepared for it, you can be watching for it, and you can say no to it.
Whoa, yeah. Yeah, I think what startled me so much is because this force hasn't been showing up as much, at least in this context.
Mm-hmm. And so is this a fairly new situation?
It's fairly new. It's the last 6 months.
Yeah, so there it is. And people can see this everywhere. Okay, everywhere in our lives we can see this. There's something new. Now, of course, a lot of people are so identified with ego maintenance that they don't want anything new, right? Ego likes things to be the same, small, closed, fear-based, right? That's how it likes to live. And that's, of course, what it wants for us, because then that makes it comfortable. It can complain and suffer and be miserable, and that's the way it likes it, right? So then you do something new, and it's new, right? It's different. It's unusual. And ego doesn't have the same kind of structures in place to take over and run the show. So there's a honeymoon period, right? Mm. So everybody knows the honeymoon period, whether it's in a relationship, in a job, in a community, in anything, right? And then the system, the ego survival system, begins to assert itself. Now it knows how it works, it sees what all the patterns are, and it begins to apply the karmic reactions, right?
Wow.
I mean, I think probably we've all seen that time and time and time and time again. And because people believe that what they're experiencing is real or true, they leave a relationship, they leave a job, they leave a town, they leave a whatever it is, and then usually repeat a pattern until a person gets to the point often of deciding, well, nothing works for me. In fact, two or three people have said this to me just recently, the Jon Kabat-Zinn thing of wherever I go, there I am.
Right.
And it's in a really defeated kind of a, you know, I've tried all this stuff, and I always wind up in the same place.
Right.
And what we're talking about is the reason for that.
Yeah.
It's not an accident, and it's not anything that the person is doing wrong. It's just that it's the failure to recognize that as a pattern.
Right. Well, so then, of course, what comes up is, okay, what can I do to defeat this dark force?
Yes, and so what you could, there are several things, of course, that you can do. One is just to bring conscious awareness to it. So you're coming home from work. Years ago, when we first did Time Out for Parents, there was a mom and child who basically, so I don't know, I heard this somewhere, and I suspect it's true, that there's more domestic violence in the period between coming home from work and dinner than any other time.
Wow.
Because people are really stressed, and they're coming in, they're tired, they're hungry, they're, you know, their nerves are frayed, and somebody says something and everybody goes crazy. So what we talked about in Time Out for Parents is stop, you know, take a snack, you pick up the child, you go to a park or you go sit in the car, whatever, have your snack, talk about the day and connect, and then come home for the evening. And so you can do the same thing with you. Right? You get off work and you take a little time, a few minutes. It could even be the time it takes for you to get from work to home. But what you're doing is checking in, letting go of the day, you know, get a little letting go bowl so you can put all the cares of the day in it. And if you need a snack, you have a little snack and whatever takes care of you. And you're talking with yourself about, okay, here we go. You know, we're going to come in. People are going to be there. Everybody's had the kind of day they've had. We're going to have dinner. And so let's look at how that's going to be. And then you walk into it identified, in quotes, with the person who wants to be in that situation.
Wow. Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Good. Now you're going to try it, and then you're going to let us know, right?
I will. And, you know, I was doing the two-chair exercise, actually, not literally shifting the chair, but, you know, facilitating myself on the way home from work. And
Yeah. And now you're going to really bring in the person who wants to be there.
Wow. Yeah. Well, this is really helpful.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Let me know.
Yeah. Thank you, Sherry.
Okay. You're very welcome. Great to talk with you.
Yeah.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. And Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Okay.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air.
Hello.
Oh,
hello.
Okay. That's better. That's better.
Can
you hear me, Sherry?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
You
know, it's kind of with the sound being so great tonight. The sound is really great tonight. You know, I mean, we're hearing everything. Right? All the background noise coming out of the bag, walking across the room, kids, you know, whatever it is. The sound is really good. So we can be grateful for that.
It's really good. Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also grateful that we have more callers.
Good.
There we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Judith from Eureka, California.
Well, hello, Judith. How are you?
Oh, I'm just so glad to get on.
Well, tell us what's going on.
Well, I had a good experience last night in the middle of the night where I was able to see conditioning at work in a new area. That has always been one of my vulnerable ones. And so exciting. I was petting my cat in the night, and I noticed a lumpy place where he had probably gotten another bite injury. Mm. And immediately all this conversation starts going on about how it's going to cost too much, and he's going to have to keep going back again and again, and you know, I can't remember now what it was because I dropped it. And
good for you.
it was so wonderful. I was listening to recorded email class responses, and it was the end of the joy class, and it was so inspiring, and it was so uplifting and kind of like there it was right in my ear, what I needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It was thrilling.
Well, that's a commercial for practice, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
You know, because the thing is, well, we don't know anything. It's the middle of the night.
I know.
So we don't know. The thing that we can be grateful for is, you know, I'll be you. I'm alive. This cat that I love is alive.
Yeah,
we're both here together. Everything is actually fine. Now something's
fine.
Yeah, something's going to happen at some time. Yep, it sure will. But it's not happening now. And when it does happen, whatever it is, well, we'll be there for it.
Yeah. And then the first email class assignment came, and I just love the email classes. So, I'm pretty happy
Now. Yeah, pretty happy. Pretty happy. And that's such a great snapshot, Judith, because that's most of what makes people's lives miserable. You know, even when it's something that really is happening. I mean, lots of very scary, painful, difficult things happen in a person's life. It's true that they do, but the suffering is caused from being in a conversation with that voice about how awful it is and what it means and the terrifying things that are going to happen and all of that. That's where the suffering is. We can handle the real life difficult circumstances, but those conversations will kill us.
Well, and it's such a habit to start feeling bad after my cat. You know, it looks like he's going to need to go to the vet, that I don't really take it apart and see what exactly is going on.
Yeah, and thank goodness you have those recordings in your ear.
Yes. And since I haven't talked to you, I haven't been able to get on the air for the few months now, I just want to commemorate my anniversary of being back in practice for over a year now. It was a year ago last October.
Excellent.
And such a good year, Sherry. It's just been the greatest.
Well, and again, that little vignette kind of says it all, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if we weren't practicing, that kind of a night is a life ruiner. You know, because it wouldn't be an isolated event, right? Because when karmic conditioning gets hold of us, there's always something like that. And whether it's a lump on the cat or not, it's just a thought that comes through of some awful thing that's going to happen or something that happened in the past or some disaster or some tragedy or something that's going to, you know, it's nonstop with that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So being in practice, being plugged in, hearing what is so, choosing joy, that's us.
Yeah, and I'll just say one other thing I'm so happy about. Don't have much money, and just discovering that there's other ways to give, like sending in tweets and sending in peace quotes and,
yes.
You know, my wonderful experience with the Africa fundraiser last year, which I'm looking forward to doing something like that again, and to see that, you know, there's always a way.
Okay, I just really want to stop and underline that, because I don't know if everybody, I want to make sure everybody heard it. Right?
Yep.
So you don't have a lot of money. You would, if you did have a lot of money, I'm sure, like the rest of us, you have a pretty good idea of what you'd like to support and contribute to. But you can't do it financially, but you can do it through contributing time and energy and attention, right? So you gather peace quotes and send them in. You create or find tweets and you send those in. You know, what are the things that support practice for you and for everybody else that you can offer, that you can do, that actually light you up, right, that are fun to do, and they're a tremendous contribution to practice, and they don't cost money.
And they are practice for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know this better than anybody. You know, when you spend your time looking for peace quotes, that's a lit-up activity.
No kidding.
Yeah, when you spend your time either creating or finding tweets to send out to people for Stop Drop Text, is that the program? Yeah, Practice Everywhere.
Practice Everywhere.
Yeah, that's a lit up activity.
It is.
Yeah, yeah. So that's wonderful. I just wanted to underline that because there might be other people out there who will say, oh, you mean I could look for peace quotes or create tweets and send those in? Oh, yes, you could. And we'd be so very, very grateful.
Yeah, so there's a lot of ways to participate.
Thank you for that. A lot of ways to participate, and they all feel good, don't they?
They sure do.
Yeah.
So
all
thank
right.
you for everything.
Well, I'll see you in the email class. I mean, I won't
yes.
know it, but we'll okay. meet.
I'll be there.
All right.
Thank you,
all right,
Mary.
Thanks, Judith. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Judith. And we have another caller here, Sharon.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Joyce.
Well, hello, Joyce. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I have thrown myself into practice wholeheartedly. Doing the
very
drop,
good.
Stop, drop, and text. I'm doing the year-long retreat. I'm listening to the radio programs all the time. I'm doing the coaching. And
wow.
I'm amazed. I'm just amazed at the amount of things that are available to do to support practice. And I am so grateful.
So let me guess. Life is getting better?
Well, it is.
Don't you just love that?
I do. And
yeah.
A little snag that I've run into, though. I keep putting myself in positions where I get my buttons pushed. And I'm doing this consciously.
Oh. Now, why are you doing that?
I'm doing that to find out how self-hate works.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder if I keep doing this and keep getting the buttons pushed, then I get to see how that works. What comes up and all of that.
You know, that is actually a brilliant approach.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I wish everybody would do it. I do. I wish everybody would do it. Because what, as you know, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, wants us to do only the things that it tells us to do that make it comfortable and make it feel safe.
Yeah.
So anything else is, oh no, I don't like that. No, I don't do that. No, I don't want to do. No, I'm not interested in that. No, 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 no. And what you're doing is every time you hear a no, you go, okay,
yes,
do that.
Yeah, just before calling in tonight. This little voice was like, oh, no, you know, I think you've taken care of this thing that was bugging you, and you don't really need to call in, and I almost fell for it.
Uh-huh. Then you said, oh, perhaps there's a button around here somewhere.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So the button that's getting pushed is I'm finding out just how much deep-seated self-hate and which, how much is there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's startling.
It's what?
The amount of really nasty, angry things that come through this being.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, it's just that I'm seeing and hearing and feeling this. And I want to know what to do with that.
Well, I'll tell you, I got an email message from somebody yesterday. And he was looking at self-hate, you know, self-hate. And what his comment was,
it's so fascinating to realize that, and you have to do a little quote marks in the air, right? That self creates hate, and hate creates self. That it really is good that they're attached. Now, he didn't say this, but it really is good that they're attached with that little hyphen, because they really are one thing, and they are creating each other. So here's the secret for us. That's a system. It's like a program. It's like reruns on a television, okay?
Yep.
The difficulty we get into is that we think it has something to do with us, and it doesn't.
Okay. That's exactly it. I have been even putting that into the context of, this feels like a really young part of me that is involved in this process. And I think that's the nasty little hook that was used to make me believe it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Now, the connection is that for most of us, that stuff did start taking over our lives when we were very young. Very young. But it still has nothing to do with us.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you might have been 2, 3, 4, 5 and on up when that system was gaining more and more traction, you know, was getting more evolved and involved. And so by the time you're, 12 or 13, you know, the voices are actually talking about you as you and telling you what you are and how you are and what this means, and everybody hates you and you're ugly and, you know, all of the things that might happen there. And so, of course, we believe that it's personal, that it's true, that it has something to do with me, because, as you say, you feel it. You can feel it in your body. You know, when this ugliness, when the hatefulness is really there, we can feel it in the body. But it still actually has nothing to do with us. It's a system. It's a program.
We may have lost her there, Sherry.
Well, doggone it.
What's going on with these phones today, huh?
I know. It's that Mercury.
Yeah.
So, do we want to give it just a sec, see if we can get her back? Or Isota came back. Maybe Joyce will come back.
Yes. Isota was on a computer.
Oh.
Why don't we take another caller, and then when she comes back, we will...
Good. Good idea. Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Michael.
Sure. Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Sherry in San Francisco.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. I feel a little bad losing Joyce like that, but...
I know, but she's resilient. She's resilient. She'll bounce back. What's going on with you?
Well, you know, normally I love to just show up and see what drops in, but today I actually have something I wanted to talk about with you. And I didn't let, you know, all day long the voices were trying to get me to like, well, what exactly are you going to say? And I didn't want to do that. So I'll just sort of, it's around the topic of OCD.
Uh-huh.
And, I don't know when it was. It was an opener call, or maybe a month ago, and I've been trying to call in since then, where I think you just casually said something about, you know, OCD and awareness practice, and my ears just perked up because I thought, oh, you know, I haven't ever really labeled myself as OCD, but I think I have a lot of OCD tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been looking at it a lot lately, ever since you sort of said that, and I'm thinking, you know, it's like, I don't really... To me, I think I've always seen that as conditioning. And Are they the same thing? Are they different? Does it even matter?
Yeah, well, probably not. Okay, so, you know, my theory about this is, and this is extreme, and it's the kind of thing that makes people like me unpopular in certain circles, but I don't think there are any issues that we have as human beings that we cannot address through awareness practice if we want to.
Mm.
Now, there are people who are out there enough, you know, have conditions that render it impossible, we could say, for them to make a choice to want to. So mm-hmm. I'm not saying, so are you with me? I'm not saying somebody,
yeah.
But if a person wants to, so instead of getting a label of ADHD and saying, okay, well, you know, I got to go on a medication, or, you know, I'm anxious, so I'm going to go to the doctor and get anti-anxiety medication. Now, if somebody wants to do that, it's fine. But is it necessary? No, I don't think it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes a lot of interest, a lot of determination to do naturally what most people are now conditioned to believe they can't do. And that's really what it comes down to. I mean, we're very conditioned to believe that conditions are something that need to be addressed in these particular specific ways. So one of the things that I find so exciting about OCD, now, before practice, and we could also say before medications, but I'm not talking about medications, okay? I'm talking about awareness practice. It can be debilitating. So, the simple classic, you get down the road and it starts in. Did you lock the door? Did you turn off the iron? Is the heater still on? Okay, and people will have to go back, you know, 10, 12, 15 times to check. And if it's bad enough, a person can't go because there's no sense in going because they're just going to spend all the time coming back, right? And that's a miserable place to be in. Now, if it's not that bad, if it's not, you know, if it's the situation isn't drastic, then a person can, and this is how I approached it with practice, was to stand there in front of whatever it was and say to myself what it was that I was doing. And then I could mark that as, I did this. Yes, I stood there. I am locking the door. I am checking the door. The door is locked. Okay, it is Tuesday morning. It's 9:35, and I am locking the door. Okay, then it's harder for that kind of habit pattern to come up, right?
Mm-hmm.
With recording and listening, it's better yet. Because it's possible to stand there with a recorder and say, it is 9:35 on Tuesday morning, and I am locking the front door. The heater is off, the iron is unplugged, whatever the list is, and then you press stop. And when the system kicks in, you can listen to the recording and know that no matter what that information is in the head, you know that you did those things that you would be you would have to second guess about if you didn't have that recording.
That has been, and I have to tell you, I heard you say that maybe a year or so ago, and that particular tool has been really helpful, really helpful, mm-hmm. with that kind of, like, checking things. Mm-hmm. So I can really vouch for that one. I'm wondering mm-hmm. if you have any specific tools around things like, like, for instance, I think it's like, it's not hoarding, but like sort of a pack rat mentality of whether it's like trying to pack or trying to, you know, get rid of things. Do you have any tools around those kinds of?
Well, I would do the same process. And the first process, of course, is bringing awareness to the process. Right. So if I I'm trying to have less stuff, or I'm trying to, what am I trying to do?
Yeah, it might be. Let's just say that. Like so there's let's say have less stuff.
Okay. So I've got these closets. Every things are full, and so I would explore that with awareness practice. I would want to talk with the mentor. I would want to make recordings. I would want to see if I could get to what is the feeling behind this? What are all the components of this? So I obviously this is meeting some sort of need. What is that need? What happens if I this? What happens if I that? What? So I'm going to take one box full of things out of the house every day. I'm going to set them on the curb to be taken away by other people who could use them. What happens to me when that goes on? So that sort of exploration for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I get clarity, then I want to start working with the recordings that are going to assist me in staying clear about what is so for me and not going along with the karmic conditioning. So mm-hmm. I know you've probably heard me say this because I've laughed about it for years, but I pack to go on a trip, and then as the PA system is announcing, we've just hit our cruising altitude of 37,000 feet, the playback would start of the things that I had forgotten to pack.
Yeah.
And that can produce some misery until I got to the point of just saying to myself, if I've forgotten something that I need, I'll buy it. And that was the end of that.
Which is so compassionate, too. It's so,
that's right.
So much compassion in that.
That's right. As soon as we take the self-hate out of something, the punishment, the what this means about you, what's going to happen to you as a result of this, as soon as that's removed, the situation goes away.
Mm. Well, yeah, and what I've really been seeing, you know, when I've been looking at this for many years, but especially recently, yeah, is also that it's like removing that whole layer of, you know, when you have an awareness practice, you shouldn't ... you know, that whole story.
Right.
You know, right.
Yes,
yeah.
And so we simply say, yes, well, possibly. However, with the ideal comes the actual. And what you're pointing at, what I think we're pointing at in this conversation, and what I hope we're always pointing at with awareness practice is we're choosing unconditional love. We're choosing
mm-hmm.
compassion no matter what. So there's no punishment for the human being. There's only learning. There's only loving kindness. That's what we're choosing. That's where we want to live. And our way to practice that is to bring that to a human life.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I found myself saying, you know, which was so sweet in my head after I said that about, you know, well, you have an awareness practice, .. Like now I feel like the refrain is more like, I have an awareness practice and I'm so lucky, .. because like you were saying in the beginning of this conversation, like I'm really interested in using awareness practice, you know, to look at all of this and how lucky I am.
Yes, yes. Because it's an opportunity to get to know a human being, which is for most of us just not the design of the whole thing, right? I mean, when, you know, at no point in my life did anybody ever say to me, this is so wonderful because what you're going to have a chance to do over the next however many years you've got is to learn to experience unconditional love, to find compassion, and to embrace a human being in that, and from that, to extend it to all life. Nobody ever said that to me.
Wow.
Did they say it to you?
I think I might have heard you say it a few times lately.
Yeah.
But not, well, I mean, that's why I feel so lucky. But right, definitely not
no.
in my earlier years. No.
Oh, God, no. We didn't get that message. So now we have it. Now we know it. Now we know what the possibility is for us. We get to practice that. So, yes, we're very, very, very lucky. And with anything that is perceived as a problem in our lives, as long as we're perceiving it as a problem, then we can know that there's an element of egocentricity, karmic conditioning, self-hate, as Joyce was saying, some buttons that we need to push because we want to get to the bottom of all of this. Because this is our opportunity to experience something that we didn't even know existed when we were coming up through the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, this has just been so helpful. Thank you.
Good.
Thanks so much.
Oh, you are so welcome. Enjoy yourself.
I will, I will. Discussion with
right.
you and Michael.
Thank you, Sherry. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. And Sherry Huber, I do not see Joyce here back in the queue.
Doggone it. Well, maybe we'll get her next week. How about
maybe
that?
We'll get her next week. I'll keep an eye out for her next week.
All right. We'll keep trying. Have we come to the end of our road?
We have. It's been another wonderful hour, and as usual, I'm feeling very blessed and privileged. Great show.
Gosh, me too. Thank you, Michael. Next time, huh?
Thank you. Okay, next week.
Take care. Good night.
You too. Good night.